Okay. All right, 1 Samuel 16:23. I'm going to read it and then we're going to pray. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. And so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. So I'm just going to pray, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for blessing us all with the preaching of your word and the teaching. And I just thank you for camp, Lord, that we could have it this year, Lord, even with Pastor being away. And I just thank you for the great time we've had, the blessings that you've given us, Lord, and the convictions that you've put upon our hearts as well, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, we would respond to your word, Lord, and to those things, Lord, that you're teaching and convicting us about this week, Lord. So I pray that you'd help me now, Lord, to speak your word, Lord, with truth and to rightly divide. And I pray that, Lord, you'd speak to the teenagers through me, Father. And I pray for these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's get into this. I'm going to be quick and to the point, so I pray that you would just keep up with me. I'm trying not to have you in here till ages. Okay, so we're talking about the power of music today. Music, music. Who here doesn't like music? Yeah, Josiah hates it. Yeah, we all know that. Okay. Leica, what's your favorite band, let's say, our favorite song? What's in your MP3 player right now? Can you mention anything to me that you like? Any sort of name that I'd be able to go, oh yeah, I know them. Cool. This is a personal question, I know. What about you, Bethany? Do you have a favorite band or song that you like to sing right now? Biwahua? Bebo Norman, I can't say I've heard of him. All right, Nathan, what about you?
John Williams?
The soundtrack writer or the classical guitar player?
The soundtrack writer.
The soundtrack writer, excellent. All right, yourself? Okay, excellent. All right. What about you, Brother Finley? What have you been listening to lately?
Christmas music.
Christmas music, all right. In season or out of season, huh? Amen. All right. So there's plenty of bands I could just rattle off a few from, let's say, the top 40 and all that kind of thing. Another question I want to ask you is, Marius, do you think music has an effect on you? Okay. Yeah? Okay. In what kind of a way, maybe? Bad or good? Okay, excellent answer. All right. What about you, Katie? Do you think music has an effect on you? Yeah? Let's say if you think of someone who's... in Cork, we have a place called the Peace Park, and if you go in there, you can look around. Can you tell that music affects people around there? What would you call them people?
Goths.
Goths, yeah. We love going in and witnessing to the goths, okay? They also like outing their cigarettes on our clipboards and things like that. But, okay, so music does have an effect on life. But if you go ask one of those people, let's say, I remember watching this funny skit where this guy interviewed all these people and they had these big Marilyn Manson t-shirts and stuff. They're like, does music have an effect on you? And they're like, no, dude, no way. And they had all this stuff in their faces. They're like, ugh. And they're like, music is just harmless, man. But what I just want to make, I want to make that statement. That's why... The message is called The Power of Music, okay? Music is powerful. It's as potent as the strongest drugs that Brother Layton can describe to you, and it can affect your body in the same way, mind, body, and soul, okay? So, and it can change you, and it can move you. You know, do you ever think of when you're watching a film, the moving music, you know, the violin, and all that kind of stuff, and you're like, I thought they were going to get together and he died, you know, and you're like, you know, that sort of stuff, okay? And the music is like, it's a tragedy, okay? So the music, Hollywood knows what kind of music to play, you know, they're not going to, like, your one's not going to be dying, never let go, Jack, never let go, and they're going to be like, dun, 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 dun. You know, that does not work, okay? So it can soften, harden or soften your hearts, and it has an appropriateness to each environment, okay? So... For us, here we see that music changes Saul for the better. Some people, even unsaved people, will call that the Mozart effect. You find ladies will talk about putting a speaker on top of their tummies and playing Mozart to their babies. And their babies are going, yes, this is great, I'm going to develop faster now, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But Like even when I was in college, you could actually, you could study music therapy, and that's where they play music to people, and they're like, oh, I feel better now, you know? So music is really powerful, okay? And I just want to talk to you about the basic structure of music before I move on a little. There's three parts to music, main parts. You could mention more. I watched a quick DVD by an evangelist, Ken Lynch, and he mentioned like tons of, about 17 of what good music is or whatever. But the three main basic principles to music are melody. Everyone know what the melody is? Yeah, that's what you're whistling when you're mowing the lawn. Okay, and that's the melody, okay? And that's the spirit of music. It communicates a message, okay? And when you were unsaved, if you're saved now, and when you were dead to your trespasses and sins, you couldn't like godly music. When I was unsaved, I'm not. Gina knows where I'm going with this one. Should they be playing godly music in the house and all that kind of stuff, you know? And I despise it. Oh, I hated it so much. I'm like, turn that stuff off. And Gina would be playing her hymns, practicing for church and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, it bothered the fire out of me, as pastor would say. All right. So, but when I got saved, and you know, pastor describes when you're unsaved, you're dead in trespasses and sins, and your spirit is dead within you, and it's like a mobile phone with a battery. It's gone. It works. It's got a SIM card. It's registered. It's ready to talk. You've probably even got a phone number assigned to you. But unless the battery is all charged up and powered up, it won't turn on and you can't communicate, okay? So when your spirit is quickened, it allows you to communicate with God now, and you can communicate with Him through prayer, okay? So that's the spirit of the music, and that communicates a message, either good or bad, as you've found out just there. Okay, the second part is the harmony, okay? So that's the soul of the music. I know you think straight away of soul music or whatever, like black soul music and stuff like that, but I mean the soul of the music as in the intellectual part. The soul is who I am, and that's my heart and my desires and things, and it's also my mind, okay? And the harmony is the mind, or it gives the music depth, is probably the best way I could say it, okay? So the job of the harmony is to strengthen the melody and just paint a beautiful backdrop to a picture to just bring, you know, if you think of good art, you know, there's a person in the middle or whatever, you know, like Mona Lisa going with her weird smile, but then there's a background on it too, and that brings it out. Like, he didn't just paint it all white or yellow or something behind it and go, oh, what a masterpiece, you know. It gives it depth, okay? And the third thing then is the rhythm. And what do we think the rhythm is connected to? The melody is the spirit, and the harmony is the soul, then the rhythm is the
body.
Yeah, okay. So that's where, that's exactly, everyone knows that. So rhythm is natural to the body, and you often have, you know, dance music or whatever, they'd be like, move, move, move your body, you know, those kind of rubbish stuff that they say, you know. You know, it's totally that way. They just say, just make up the sentence a different way, put a beat on it. Yeah, I got a new number one hit single, you know. But there are right rhythms and wrong rhythms, okay? So I bet you're glad I'm not preaching the exact same message that I did on Sunday. I preached to the teenagers, and to the whole church, on music, so I think they were wondering what I was just going to say, preach it word for word. But the heartbeat, think of the heartbeat, right? Rhythm, there's good rhythms and bad rhythms is what I'm saying. Sorry, I got off the point there for a second. If you have a normal heartbeat, you know, you don't have a heart murmur or something like that, you're fine and healthy, aren't you? And that's a fine rhythm. But then if your heartbeat is slowed down, either you're really fit like Roy Keane, apparently he has a heart rate, well, did at least 10 years ago, of like 56 beats per minute. And that just means he's really healthy because he's really strong heartbeat. But if your rhythm is, let's say if there's no rhythm, then what happens? What's wrong with you? Flatline, yeah, okay. And what if it's really fast? You know, yeah? You're sick, aren't you? You need to go to Lydia, all right? And get an x-ray or whatever and all that kind of stuff. I know she does more than that, I know. Sorry. I didn't mean that in a bad way, okay? I just was seeing the medical side of it, okay? All right. Anyway, I'm in trouble. So this is the proper order and emphasis of music. When it's abused, you can get bad effects. So just like a hammer, I could use a hammer. Hammer is very needful for building and all that kind of stuff. But I can abuse that and use it as a murder weapon. Okay. So that's what the power of the music, in power of music in the wrong hands can be devastating. Okay. So if I want to just quickly look at ungodly music. Okay. So the spiritual effect of that, turn to Daniel 3. Daniel chapter 3. Book of Daniel. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. I'm not going to read all of this because, for time's sake, okay? So basically it starts with Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold. He previously had a dream about this. And it says in verse 2, Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. So he's mentioning all kind of people types, all the authorities of the world, basically. And they're going to come and support him in his agenda. So Nebuchadnezzar here is a type of Antichrist, okay? And all these guys are just the world authorities and things like that. And it says, then an herald cried aloud, to you is commanded in verse 4, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. So music here was used to forward Nebuchadnezzar's the worship of his image, basically his propaganda. If you want to picture that, if you picture Satan, the prince of the power of the air, out into the media, he's pumping all his propaganda through, especially through music. Okay, so he uses this to exalt the things of the world. It doesn't matter what instrument you use. If you're using the wrong type of music, it'll affect you in the wrong way. And here it affected the people that when they heard it, they were to bow down to this image, okay? So you see people, as I just mentioned a while ago, their lifestyle is affected. And you can tell that they listen to worldly music, okay? And they exalt the things of the world. So I remember when I used to listen to it, all of that kind of stuff, I didn't even care what it was saying. I just knew that I liked the music. Okay, but underneath it was like a programming that it was teaching me principles subconsciously of how to live and what to do. You know, if you think of rap music, if I was into rap music, that there's a whole agenda that comes with that. You know, the dress style, your attitude towards someone or whatever. You know, all that kind of stuff that you could mock and go, you know, stop homie and all that kind of. You know, we even find teenagers here going, you know, doing all these kind of with bad kind of stuff. Sorry. And that's part of rap music, and it's affected. You can see how deep it goes and how affected. I know we mock it and we mightn't say that it's doing much to us, but that just means it has a powerful effect on us. Okay. I just wanted to give you a few things. The music of the world, basically, those guys, they are idols, and they love worship themselves too. I'm giving you Michael Jackson as an example, just because he's still in the news. Even how long has it been since he died? How long? 3 or 4 weeks. And I was just telling the church on Sunday, I looked at the top 40 charts, and 11 of his songs were in the top 40. I'd never seen that before in my life. I came across stuff when I was looking around, just that they had, after he died, everyone just randomly gathered into Trafalgar Square in England, and they all had a vigil. And I watched a little bit of some of the stuff on YouTube, and there was no praying to God or any form of God, but they were all exalting Michael Jackson, which I thought was unusual. And they had candles and everything, and they were just singing his songs and stuff. And you know that thing, Pop Idol or whatever, you know, we don't think it's so bad, but then we see the true colors of it. As Brother Dave was saying, you see the true colors once he dies, then you see how much people really, really idolized him and how important he was to them in their lives. And I also read that reportedly there had been 10 to 12 people who committed suicide after hearing that he had died. I mean, I can't fathom that, how much I would have to like someone. It's true. How much I would have to like someone that if they died, that I'd have to kill myself. You know, I just don't understand. You're laughing, but these people are dead. You know what I mean? And they're dead and they're in hell. Okay? So, and everyone's celebrating how wonderful life he was, and he's in this big gold coffin, and we're all going to have a wonderful concert. And the fact of the matter is that he was a pedophile, okay? And there was plenty of stories where security guards, reported that they'd seen all sorts of strange things, and they were fired over a thing he thought that he might be able to silence them, I guess. And even his sister, she told the media like that she didn't care if he was her brother or not. He needs help, okay? So, and it, I was telling the church this all last Sunday, and it took an eight-figure sum. The person who, the family of the child who brought him to court over it, he paid them an eight-figure sum, which is somewhere between 10 and 99 million to 10 figures, to shut them up so that they'd be quiet, pay them off, and send them away so that they wouldn't, so that he could keep doing what he does, I guess, and not go to jail. So, and even then, when I read in about his music and stuff and in interviews with him, he said that he admitted openly that he was controlled by another spirit, and that he would wake up in the middle of the night and just write out his hit music, and it was just there on the page, and he couldn't claim that he had written it at all or whatever. That he just said, "Look, I'm just a channel, and this stuff is just coming out, and it's there, and it's done. And even when I'm dancing, and I just obey whenever I'm told to move. That's what I do." Okay, so and. I even remember his music videos, I was really surprised to learn that he had plenty of allusions to witchcraft and voodoo and stuff like that. And this is Michael Jackson, you know, everyone's like the king of pop and all that kind of stuff. And I never knew how satanic it was. You know, when I think of satanic, I think of Megadeth and I think of, you know, Sepultura and all these kind of, you know, these grunger guys like Peace Park again. We're back to Peace Park and we're like openly satanic and they're singing about totally, you know, Marilyn Manson, I am speaking out in English saying, I hate the Bible, I hate Christians. But this is so subtle. And we know that the serpent is more subtle than any other. And it's amazing how you could miss that. You know, I remember as a kid I used to love Michael Jackson. And I'm ashamed. So that's the music of the world. It's even in CCM, then people think that they can listen to CCM and it'll all be okay. And CCM, sorry, for you who don't know, I'm glad that you don't know what it is, okay? Christian contemporary music, so-called. But even Brother Layton, I heard, was preaching yesterday. I think I missed it because I went out and the rush was relieving. And he spoke against it. And he said that you can't put something immoral with something that's supposed to be pure and righteous and holy and marry the two. And just because in the English language it's saying, oh, we're lifting up. And the lyrics are totally ambiguous anyway, even if you go in to study it. They never really mention specific things. And then you can't just put that underneath this worldly music and think that it's okay, you know. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Okay, so we need to be discerning. And even think, does that music help you walk with God? Does it? I don't think so. I can back up that point again in a minute. So what I'm trying to tell you there is, even though the lyrics are fine, doesn't mean that the music is okay. Okay, so that there's something that's a quality called, you know, some Christian argue that music is amoral, that it's not got anything intrinsically evil about it. Okay, but I'll just ask a couple of questions. Is language amoral? Is English language amoral? I'm sorry. Exactly, okay? Not in itself, but the words can be formed into wicked talk. It says in James 3:6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and set it on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. What about a digital camera? Is that immoral? You all have digital cameras. I have one. All right? No. But it depends on how you use it, doesn't it? Okay? Same with music. Okay? Music is a language. You don't need a Christian to tell you that the music is a language, okay? But no matter how moral the lyrics, the music is still that of the world, and it speaks of the world. God calls us to a holy lifestyle and to look, act, and taste different to the world. And as Brother Layton was saying yesterday, there's no such thing as a Christian rap music or Christian rock, okay? So I'll give you an idea, okay? One thing that you can point out to see if the music is a worldly style is how do they sing, those Christian contemporary dudes, how do they sing? You remember Britney Spears? Everyone know her? Do you know how she sings? I describe it as breathy, yeah? And she's going, ah, you know, she's doing all this sensual stuff, yeah? They sing exactly the same way, and they have a music video to back that up and all that kind of stuff. So they're sliding on notes and they're just singing sensually. I remember I went to a testimony of this guy from the Bronx. He was speaking about getting saved and stuff. When they couldn't stop singing this Chris Tomlin song or something. I don't know what it is. I just remember them singing it over and over again. Something about Jesus being mighty to save. But it was so, you could see the way the people were moving. And You know, there's a difference between how does a nothing but the blood make you move, your body? What does it make you do? If you were to move in any sort of way? Yeah, you lift the hand, or you might, if it's military kind of thing, you might stamp your feet, yeah? You might be like, you know, if you put a kid and play some hymns or whatever, you know, he's not going to do anything inappropriate or move in any way that he doesn't understand. He's just going to do, all right? But when you start putting on those kind of things and, you know, music that appeals to our flesh, you know, you start bopping your head and you're kind of like doing all that's where it's appealing to your flesh, okay? And we need to watch out for that stuff. CCM is exactly the same. If you take away the lyrics, then what difference is it to the world, okay? So just one more thing about CCM before I leave it. If CCM is so effective, if that Christian rock music is so effective, and there are thousands of being saved at concerts, where are the changed lives? Okay, the world should be turned upside down by now. If there's 10,000 people got saved at this concert and 3 million of that or whatever, I'm being sarcastic very much there. Then we should have tons of Christians who are living for the Lord, evangelizing. No, they're not. Okay, they're just living like the world. So that's melody, the spirit effect. The second is the soul effect on our minds. Okay, there's this corporation in America called Muzak, and they're hired by companies like Gap, Abercrombie and Fitch. I don't know if any of you even know that. Different people that you find in the mall, different shops, and their job is to design manipulative music to make people want to stay in shop, okay? And they are earning millions and millions and millions of dollars. What they do, they're good at what they do, okay? And just go in, and they come in and they look around and they fit speakers all over there. And when you come in, then the music is supposed to, encourage you to want to stay for one and to just. You know, I don't know, just be liberal and go, sure, I'll buy it, you know. All right? So they're very successful, and we know this. The Satan's work is very manipulative, okay? So I have a few statements here. It says, there's a guy talking about how music affects our brain. He said, a key to the order in music is the music being the same and different. The brain works by looking at different pieces of information and deciding if they are different or are the same. This is done in music of the Baroque and classical periods by playing a theme and then repeating it or changing the theme. So it says here that the repetition is done only once. The repetition, keep an eye on that word, okay? More than one repetition causes the word to become displeasing and also causes a person to either enter a state of subconscious thinking or a state of anger. I don't know about getting angry, but maybe I get angry because I'm listening to it and I don't want to. I want to listen to good music. But anyway, this guy, Dr. Balaam, goes on to say that the human mind shuts down after 3 or 4 repetitions of a rhythm or a melody or a harmonic progression. Does it sound like pop music to you? Rock music, rap music, and cause any kind of music that's in HMV or whatever. Furthermore, excessive repetition causes a person to release the control of their thoughts. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? Rhythmic repetition is used by people who are trying to push certain ethics in their music. Yeah. Another guy says he found a direct link between music's muscle strength and weakness and music. That's weird, isn't it? He discovered that all of the muscles in the entire body go weak when subjected to something called a stopped anapestic beat, which is basically a rock beat, just in English, okay? And some music by, like, guys from Led Zeppelin, Queen, Linkin Park, you know, all those kind of dudes. He says this beat causes switching in the brain. This is a scientific thing now. He says switching occurs when the actual symmetry of both the cerebral hemispheres is destroyed, causing alarm in the body, along with lessened work performance, learning and behavior problems in children, and general malaise in adults. That's interesting, isn't it? Okay, so he's just basically saying that even physically, it can affect our minds. But the Bible says we've got to have the mind of Christ. Okay, so the music we listen to shouldn't encourage a fleshly mind. What does Romans 13:14 say? Anyone know that one? I'm sorry? Yeah, I know. I can only think of the end of it as well. We'll put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make that provision for the flesh, okay? So we're not supposed to listen to fleshly music, or we're not supposed to make provision for anything that's going to encourage fleshliness, and it's clear that that's what it does, okay? And the music we listen to shouldn't be mindless either, Okay, so we, you know, this Hannah Montana, hold down, throw down, show down. Just read the lyrics. I mean, what a load of rubbish, okay? I just said there that the music we listen to shouldn't be mindless, okay? Paul says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Okay, so we need to sing with understanding, not sing a load of rubbish, a load of vanity, okay? And when we also, some of us vainly sing hymns too, and we're singing nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, that's a nice ride over there. You know, and we're not thinking about what we're saying, okay? So when you sing hymns as well, think about what you're saying. All right. So the third part then is, finally, the physical effect, okay? Obviously, I'm going back to the rock beat here, and I just have a few quick things. Some of the teenagers know what I'm saying already. Worldly music, ungodly music, has an effect physically on us, in a negative way. there was a guy here, and he said he did an experiment with mice and music, rock music and stuff. He said he assembled three groups of 24 mice. Okay? He said, one control group, he says here, one hard rock group and one classical group. So they had some mosher mice and some classical mice and some middle of the road mice, okay? And the music was played for 10 hours a day, the poor mice. And he said the control group improved their time through a maze from 10 to 5 minutes. I don't know how often he made them run through this maze. Depends on how his mood was, I suppose. The classical group improved from 10 to 2 minutes. Okay? And this is interesting. The rock group went from 10 minutes to 30. And then David said about this, he said, I had to cut my project short because all the hard rock mice killed each other. He's serious. He said none of the classical mice did that at all. Okay? So he said the value of the test was that mice, even the smarter ones, the smartest ones with classical music, do not understand one word of the lyrics. It was certain something in the music itself. And we're saying the rhythm, okay? This has the same effect on plants. This lady decided that she'd play music to plants. that's what college does, yeah, okay? Alright, so she played a tone for 3 hours. I'm on the second one. She played a steady tone continuously for 8 hours. This is without music first. Maybe she was just messing around or something. And then tone for 3 hours intermittently, and then in a third chamber with plants, she played no tone at all. And then in the first chamber with the constant tone, the plants died within 14 days. In the second chamber, the plants grew abundantly and were extremely healthy. And in the third, doesn't really matter, does it? But when she found out that the sound had an effect on plants, she decided to start playing music. Okay, so she had the same as the guy with this mice, and I don't know where they're related or something. But she played one normal, middle-of-the-road music, normal kind of, and then a classical, and then a rock one. And she says in one chamber the radio was tuned to a local rock station, and in the other, soothing middle-of-the-road music. Only 3 hours of music was played in each chamber. On the fifth day, she began noticing drastic changes. In the chamber with the soothing music, the plants were growing healthily, and the stems were starting to bend towards the radio. In the rock chamber, half the plants had small leaves and grown gangly, while the others were stunted. After 2 weeks, the plants and soothing music were uniform in size, lush and green, and were leaning 15 to 20 degrees towards the radio. The plants in the rock chamber had grown extremely tall and were drooping and had faded. The blooms had faded, and the stems were bending away from the radio. On the 16th day, all but a few plants in the rock chamber were at the last stage of dying. All right? So, you know, they say, I wonder what coke does to your insides. I wonder what rock is doing to your insides, okay? So just a few statements and I'm finished, okay? God cares about what music we listen to, okay? Turn to Titus. Titus, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, near the end of your Bible. If you get to Hebrews, go back one. You find Philemon and then Titus. Book of Titus says, chapter 2, verse 11 and 12 says, for the grace of God that brings salvation had appeared unto all men, or to all men, teaching us that denying all godliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Okay? So he cares about our lifestyle, and that includes our music. So we ought to check our hearts. I could tell a lot about a person by what music they listen to, okay? What their spiritual condition is. Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Okay? And the Bible says also in Proverbs 17:16, wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing that he had no heart to it? I thought that was an interesting statement. Even if all the truths are here for you this week, and there is the best preaching that could ever be preached, if Jesus Christ stood up and preached here, he could preach all the best stuff, and there would be none of the style of the preacher in the way, or you know, anything that would cause a dishonorable vessel or anything. It would just be pure word of God from start to finish. This says here, wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he had no heart to it? So even if he was here, the state of our heart makes a difference as to what we hear, what we can understand, and it mightn't have an effect on us at all. Okay. So what I'm trying to say is that a change in our hearts will cause a change to our music. Okay. If I listen, and also the other way around, music also has an effect to pull us one way or the other. Okay. So if I'm trying to walk with God, and I'm really thirsty and hungry to learn from the Word of God, and I really want to get closer, draw nigh unto God, and I want Him to draw nigh unto me, but I'm still listening to all this rock music. It's like trying to go outside and not opening the door. I'm like, I really want to go outside, and I'm just smashing into the door, and I fall down, and I recover, and that's what I'm doing. I'm putting up a stumbling block in front of me, and I'm just not going to get past it. Okay, so. The Bible says also when we get saved that He had put a new song in our mouths. Okay, it says in Psalms 40 verse 3, and He had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. So we shouldn't have the old sound, the old songs. We shouldn't still have them. As I said, we're making provision for the flesh. So if you find the hymns boring, then you just check your heart. Okay, as I said in my testimony there, I used to hate church music. Any sort of music that would glorify God. But when I got saved, I was heavily into music. I was into musicians' music. I was into, I was talking about the soul there and the mind. I listened to all this kind of drum stuff with polyrhythms and in really advanced structures, and it was really nuts. But when I got saved, all of that just dropped away, you know. And I was totally saved. And now just a simple song with A, D, and E, three chords in it or whatever, would just bless me beyond measure, you know. And that's pretty amazing. So so music is powerful, and Satan uses it, so we need to be careful what kind of music we listen to. So I'm just going to give you some things to help you discern your music, okay? The content first, it's obvious, isn't it? The content, if it has worldly propaganda in it. Any of you heard of Kanye West? Think he's a good guy or whatever? Does he profess to be a Christian? I thought I heard that he did. Okay. He's supposed to be? Really mean. Okay. Right. Maybe I'll leave that one out. So Beyonce could claim to be a Christian, right, Gina? What kind of lifestyle does she have? Okay. All right. If your music that you listen to promotes immorality, immodesty, or idolatry, then it's obvious. Stop listening to it right now. Okay, it's messing up your insides. And the Bible says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Okay? And the Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil, even the appearance of evil. Okay? Two, then, the rhythm or the beat. Is it fleshly or carnal? Does it appeal to your flesh? Does it make you... you don't have to feel sensual, but if it appeals to the flesh, if it... Let's say you could do a litmus test with music. If it would sound okay in a nightclub, don't listen to it. If it would sound okay in a rock concert, don't listen to it. Think of the places where this music is played, okay? If that kind of beat or that kind of music you're listening to, don't. You better stop listening to it right now for the sake of your walk with God and your future. The Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Or it says, but I keep under my body, Paul says, and bring it into subjection. Even if I did like this music and I know it appeals to me, I'm not saying that I wouldn't find the music that I used to listen to is still appealing, okay? But the Bible says, Paul says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach others, I myself should be a castaway. So he brings his body under subjection, even if his body is reaching out for that stuff, he refrains himself. It says in 1 Peter 2:11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Okay? Third one then, how you might like your music, emotions. Emotions. You know, CCM, they all get this big emotional experience and they're like, yeah, I feel close to God. An emotional experience doesn't mean I feel close to God. It doesn't mean you're close to God in one bit, okay? All right? So I'm talking about music now and you might be like, you might have shut off from the very start, okay? You know, an alcoholic will do the same thing. If I start preaching to someone about against alcohol, against drinking, he'll get very angered at what I'm saying, okay? So think about that principle when you put it towards music. You're putting music above God. If God says that's not what you should listen to, you're putting music above God and you're breaking the first commandment, okay? The Bible says a contrite heart is an obedient heart, not just an emotional kind of, I feel great because I'm worshipping God or something like that, okay? The song doesn't go, we've heard the joyful sound, emotion save, emotion save. Okay, it's all about Jesus. All right? So the Bible isn't here to please or entertain people. It's here to convict us of wicked sin and moves us to repent and to turn to God. All right? So just last statement. This much in my notes. Our flesh is always going to be tempted by sin, okay? So this music might be a struggle for you. You know, we all struggle at something or another. But the Bible says, love not the world, okay? Everything a Christian does, he does is he's supposed to glorify God, okay? And according to the Bible, if you study it out, that type of music does not glorify God. And just check your intentions. It doesn't, no matter how sincere I am about listening, you know, I might say, oh, I love God and all that kind of stuff, but I'm still going to listen to that music. That doesn't mean that I'm right, okay? So I'll just leave you with the final statement. We ought to love what God loves. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So I'm just going to pray and thank the Lord, and we'll move along. Father, thank you for your word, Lord, that just teaches us so much, Lord, on every single subject, Lord. And we just thank you for the principles that you've given us, Lord, that they stand the test of time, Lord. And they tell us about all our supposedly modern problems and what we should do and what we shouldn't, Lord. Television wasn't invented back 2,000 years ago, Lord, but yet your word says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes, Lord. So I'm just thankful, Lord, that your word is living, Lord, and it convicts us of from where we're at, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, if any of us are listening to type of music, Lord, that we now know is inappropriate, Lord, I pray that you'd convict us about that and show us that there is right music to listen to, Lord. If we were ignorant about it, Lord, I pray that now we would make a decision. I pray that if we did know already about it, Lord, and we're still listening to it, Lord, I pray that we repent of that rebellion, Lord, against your word. And I pray that we just turn to you, Lord, and just seek that forgiveness and that long-suffering and that mercy, Lord, that's just waiting, Lord, to be poured upon us. I just thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for saving me, Lord, and making me a new creature, Lord, that I might be able to appreciate the things of God, Lord, your things. So I pray for the teenagers now that you bless them and help them with this issue. And I pray for these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.